I'm Kim Carson. I'm so happy you found my podcast, Conversations with Kim. Whether I'm having a conversation with a celebrity, an author, history maker, record breaker, or the average everyday person, we all have a story to tell. And maybe that story just might change another person's life. We can learn so much from each other. Let us discover some of life's most valuable lessons with today's guest on Conversations with Kim. Today, my conversation is with Gary W. Moore, who is the author of the book, The Final Service. Now, The Final Service is a faith-based story that is scheduled for major motion picture production. So thank you so much for talking to me today, Gary.
Oh, Kim, it's a pleasure. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
So, Gary, first off, how did you come to write this book? I mean, with this whole theme?
Well, you know, it's funny. People ask how I choose subjects, and I always kind of say that subjects choose me. I run into someone. I will experience something. In this particular case, I was speaking at a grade school and talking to grade school students about writing, and there was a teacher that I knew well that she invited me there, and I'd known her for years. She was in the back, and I noticed she was crying. After we finished the talk, I went over and had a conversation with her, and she had just found out that her father was diagnosed with lung cancer and was dying, and she said that she had had a very fractured, a very bad relationship with him, and she didn't know how to deal with this information. You know, I encouraged her to talk to her dad, but didn't really want to get into her business, and so I kind of left at that. A few days later, she wrote me and said that her father had died, and she was very angry and bitter. And we engaged in a conversation that really became, even though this is a work of fiction, it's based on a true story, and it's based on her life and her experience with her father. He was a World War II veteran that suffered from PTSD before they diagnosed PTSD. Mm. So everybody just thought he was a crazy, drunk, alcoholic man.
Well, you know, in reading the story, I mean, it's very gripping. It pulls you in. There's a lot of dark moments, but it's a beautiful, beautiful story that just kind of continues to unfold. So how would you describe their relationship, the relationship that she had with her father over the years? I wanted you to paint maybe a little broader picture of that relationship.
Okay. Well, her nickname was Shadow. Everybody in town knew her as Shadow because wherever her father was, Shadow was always following. And they couldn't have a closer father-daughter relationship up until the time that she became, you know, a teenager, when she turned 13. Her father, who didn't graduate from high school, he dropped out of school to join the war effort in World War II, had decided he wanted to go back to school, became obsessed with education, got his GED, got his bachelor's degree, got his master's degree, and for the next 4 or 5 years had his nose stuck in a book. And Sandy, his daughter, didn't quite deal with that very well. She became angry, felt deserted by her father. Her father, along that time, started suffering from a delayed impact of a form of PTSD, where he started drinking. He became very sullen, had night terrors. And the relationship continued to fracture and fracture and fracture. It kind of climaxed when she was home from college, and her father asked her about the Vietnam War, asked her what she thought. Mm-hmm. And she was so proud that her dad really was interested in her feelings, and she gave the typical college student at the time response, make love, not war, to which the father cleared the table off with his hand. Things went silent, and he started screaming at her that war wasn't like it is in the movies, and you got to stand for something or fall for anything. He left the house later on that night. The police brought him back drunk, and the relationship just continued to worsen from there. She became a school teacher in the same small town, so she was constantly embarrassed by her father's
antics.
Unshaven, unkept look, and then he was diagnosed with lung cancer and died and left her with all that baggage.
Yeah, and then what ensues afterward? I mean, it's just, it's great. It's just, it kind of balances out all the darkness. And the book for me, it's a relationship book, like relationships with her dad, Steve, her mom, the stranger, Tracy, her friend. And then there was that point where Sandy had reached the end and contemplated suicide. Many have been there or know someone who has been there. I enjoyed all the lessons in the book. You know, life changes us. Judging other people can be dangerous. Like, yes. It was really, it was one of those books that just kind of pull you in. What are you hearing from other people about it? What are their reactions?
Well, I'm hearing, I hoped, when you're an author, you hope, you pray. I pray before I write. I hope that and pray that people will enjoy and that it'll make a difference in their lives. But I didn't expect what's happened. I've the book's only been out a month. I've already received hundreds of letters, phone calls from people who told me that they related to Sandy and her experience with her father. I received a phone call from, I'm 61 years old, received a phone call from a friend of mine who is a legitimate decorated Vietnam War hero who suffers from PTSD. And he called me and started crying and said that this reminded him of his relationship with the daughter. And he bought the book for his daughter and asked her to read it, the first time they'd spoken in about 10 years.
Wow.
And he said it was important that she read this book before they end up the same way.
Oh,
and so it's really made a difference. Dr. Supid Bose, who's considered one of the world's leading experts in PTSD, he says that he thinks this is one of the more important books that's ever been written for the families of those people who are suffering. And so I think that you don't have to have PTSD. I think that family relationships are fragile alliances sometimes. And as we get older, when we start thinking for ourselves and we're no child, children are, we weave these webs in our relationships that interfere. And people tell me that this book has helped them kind of clear those webs away.
Well, yeah, kids kind of place their parents, maybe a lot of them, on a pedestal a little bit. And, as you grow older, you realize that they're flawed, too. You're looking for perfection and you just can't find it. In the book you talk about post-traumatic stress disorder and denial or just missing the diagnosis and how it causes these serious problems. Now, in Chapter 5, Sandy's father, who is this World War II veteran, she's cleaning out all of her father's things after he's died. Mm-hmm. And the stranger shows up. Now, what are some of the things that you wanted people to get? Like, what does she learn from this stranger?
Well, I think she learns a lot of things from this stranger. She learns that superficially, she was too tough on her father. She didn't understand her father. She has a warehouse, about 10,000 square foot, full of garbage that her father had collected. It was kind of the superficial debris of his life that she was tasked with emptying out. And the stranger kind of talked her through the process of, strangers with name Sam, talks her through the process of kind of cleaning up. But in actuality, she wasn't cleaning a warehouse. She was cleaning her heart. And at the very end, she really understood what her father believed, what he stood for, why he saved what he did. And it was a life-changing experience for her.
Wow. And, The Final Service, it's a book about family relationships and how God can use all circumstances for his good purposes. And
oh, absolutely.
But yet, when I'm reading this, it's so hard to see. It's really impossible for sometimes to see when you're in those low places.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a man of faith. And even though you're faithful, we all get in those low places and it's still hard to see your way out. And in my case, I pray. In Sandy's case, she wasn't a faithful person at the time. And the lower place she would find her life, the more bitter she would become. And again, it was Sam who entered her life, kind of arrived unannounced.
The mystery man.
When she needed him most, yeah. And helped her talk through these things. And really, when you examine the book the first time you read it, you think, okay, it's Sam talking her through. But it's really Sandy just discussing with Sam.
Right.
And talking herself through.
I can't wait to see this in the movie form. How did you come to believe these things? Because you believe that God has a plan for us, but yes. Only it is revealed in his timing. His timing is not our timing. Our timing is not his timing.
Oh, absolutely. And we all wish that that God operated according to our time clock. And
yeah, like he was a magic genie or something.
Yes, yes. The story is based on three pieces of scripture. The most prevalent one in this particular case is Sandy's asking Sam, the stranger, says, "Why would God do this to me? What would happen?" And I kind of base the story on the scripture where Jesus is at the well outside the gate in Jerusalem, and one of the disciples asks and says, they see a blind man sitting next to the water, and he says, "Who sinned, his mother or father, to make this man blind?" And Jesus reaches down and heals him and said, no one sinned. This man was made blind so a great work, you know, could be done within him. And it has. And Jesus heals him. And I think that in this particular case, you know, Sandy suffers through this relationship with her father, and she questions God, why did you do this to me? Why did you allow it to me? And the better question is, you know, maybe the answer is he allowed it so that a great work could be done within her, and it was.
And how many other people's lives that story is touching.
Yeah. It's
that ripple effect. And when the movie comes out, think of the millions of lives that it'll be touching.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're really excited about the movie. This is my third book, but I'm still relatively an unknown author. And I'm with a great publisher, but a small publisher. And to be able to find shelf space, be able to get stories out, you know, you're fighting with the big five publishers in New York, and it's hard to do that. But this book is finding an audience very, very quickly. And we're really excited. I feel very blessed by what's happening.
Gary, who is this book for? If you were going to describe who might be able to benefit and really connect with it in reading it.
Gosh, I mean, really, I think that that everybody can benefit, but it really targets kind of parent sibling, you know, or parent child relationships. In this particular case, it's a father daughter relationship. My first book, Playing with the Enemy, it's a relationship book also, is father son relationship. And so I kind of focus on relationship stories, and this is one that I think that I've heard from men and women that it has really caused them to rethink their relationship with their parents. And Kim, here's the remarkable thing, and it's just natural. We all believe that our parents are very dull, boring people, because all we know is from the time we're born, they're focused on us, trying to meet our needs, take care of us, so on and so forth. And that's pretty boring in the eyes of the child. But we don't consider quite often that our parents had an entire lifetime before us.
Right.
And it's really important that you reach out to those parents and ask them, say, you know, what was your life like? What did you do? How did you grow up? Where did you grow up? And I think people find their parents were really pretty fascinating people.
A lot of times,
understand them.
You know, a lot of times they don't want to talk about it.
Oh, well, especially that generation. When you're talking about the World War II Korean War generation, they were born into the Great Depression. They were, really suffered. And so they really had kind of a just, you know, suck it up and live with it kind of attitude, which wasn't always healthy.
Yeah.
Then the Vietnam generation was their children, and they were the exact opposite.
Right.
I mean, the Vietnam vets talked about it. They were very vocal about their feelings, and they weren't ashamed to talk about PTSD, which they shouldn't be, but in the way to World War II. I mean, World War II vets believed if it didn't bleed, it wasn't a wound.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm a believer like you, but it's just so hard sometimes. I mean, it's just so difficult to remember that the troubles we encounter do indeed have a purpose, and forces more powerful than ourselves are at work in our lives in ways that we are unable to comprehend.
You know, and there's no shame in admitting that, because it's true of all of us. You know, about 30 years ago, Billy Graham shocked me when he was being interviewed, and he said he has those moments of doubt. He has those times when he questions God. He doesn't understand. And so, you know, we're all weak people. We're broken. We grown up in a broken world, and being faithful is not always that easy. But we've got to keep focused, you know, focused on God and be prayerful, and that's what gets me through the day.
Well, those are some good words, and this was a great read. It would be a great Sunday read if it was raining outside or something. It would be really, and we got rain coming. So, today my conversation was with Gary W. Moore, who is the author of the book, The Final Service. Where can people reach out to you, social media or website or any of that? I'll put the link up where you can buy the book once the podcast is up.
Yeah, thank you. They can get the book at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any place where fine books are sold.
Or your local bookstore.
Or your local bookstore, absolutely. And we love the independents. There's not enough of them around, so yes. We also, you can reach me on social media. My webpage is just garywmoore.com, GARYWMOORE.com. And there is a Facebook page for The Final Service. And I'd appreciate if people and just kind of like that page, and we can keep you updated in news. I'm on a book tour right now, and there's nothing scheduled in Grand Rapids, but I know that they're looking in that area for October, and I'm really eager to get up that way.
This is
the most beautiful state in the Union, I believe.
And this is the Bible Belt right here up north mm-hmm. in Grand Rapids. I think someone told me when I first moved here that there were more churches per capita than anywhere else in the country. So we love these stories. We love them. So thank you so much for talking to me today, Gary. I look forward to the movie very much.
All right, thank you so much.
You've been listening to Conversations with Kim. Reach out to me, Kim Carson, via social media. On Instagram and YouTube, Kim Carson Now. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Kim Carson. Listen to my radio show middays on WLAV.com. And each Wednesday, I join the Hot Topics chat segment, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ABC's Take 5 and Company on WZZM13.com. Listen to more episodes at kimcarson.podomatic.com. Until we meet again, thanks for listening to my podcast, Conversations with Kim.